Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Jay Feinman, Distinguished Professor Emeritus at Rutgers Law School, has been at the forefront of research examining the critical shortcomings in disaster insurance markets. His recent work, Designing Public Solutions for Disaster Insurance Market Failures, explores how traditional insurance mechanisms often fall short in providing effective, equitable coverage for disaster-related losses, especially in the face of growing climate risk. Professor Feinman's research points to the urgent need for public sector innovations to close coverage gaps, enhance resilience, and ensure post-disaster recovery for all communities. I'm John Weber for AM Best TV, and it's my pleasure to welcome Professor Jay Feinman at this time. Professor, glad you could join us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Professor, what are the key structural failures you've identified in the current disaster insurance market, and how do they impact policyholders after a catastrophic event?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of these factors have become quite familiar to people. So with respect to flood losses, decades ago, we cabined that off. Home insurance companies stopped writing flood insurance, and the National Flood Insurance Program was created. Unfortunately, the take-up rate, participation rate in flood is very low, and we see it's increasingly not compensating people fully, even when they have the coverage. Most people, therefore, covered to the extent they're covered at all for disasters, wildfires, wind, hail, the effects of hurricane, by their homeowners insurance. We've seen large-scale withdrawals from the homeowners insurance market. A few years ago, 7 out of the 12 largest insurers in California, comprising about a third of the premiums, pulled out of the market. In California, the California Fair Plan, in Florida, the Citizens Property Insurance, the insurers of last resort, designed to be the backstop for people who cannot get insurance, mushroomed more than a million policyholders in Florida. And even in places in which homeowners insurance is still available, because this is a national problem, we've seen two things. One, we've seen premiums increase greatly. National premiums increased by about a quarter over a four-year span. And we've seen declines in coverage. So policyholders, even who have insurance, are paying more and getting less. For example, in many places, it's very difficult to get replacement cost coverage for your roof. Coverage will be on a depreciation schedule or something like that for wind and hail. So $30,000 to replace a roof, your insurance may only pay $10,000. The rest has to be out of pocket. So there are multiple dimensions to this problem. And as I said, happening across the country, it's no longer just a coastal issue.
How does your research define the role of government in correcting these market failures? And what models show the most promise?
Well, the article you mentioned actually doesn't define the role of government. I don't have any answers. I mean, I do have some answers and I'll offer them. But for the most part, what I have is questions. I think the problem we've had in a lot of these situations is they've been make do. A particular problem arises. Oh, all of a sudden, people can't get flood coverage or earthquake coverage. After the 1994 earthquake in Northridge, California, insurance companies realized they were very bad at predicting earthquakes. So they didn't want to do that. And we get patchwork solutions. What I'm really focused on here is defining the kinds of questions that will lead us to better answers. What are the goals of the insurance? What are the effects of a particular model? What are the non-insurance models that we ought to be adopting? How do we classify risks and so forth? So it's really about asking the right questions, because if you don't do that, you don't get the right answers. But I do have some thoughts, having seen a lot of the programs and looked at a lot of this. Role of government is going to be necessary either as insurer or reinsurer or regulator that changes the structure of the marketplace, because private insurers on their own don't have sufficient incentive to do this and can't get together to do this. Government is going to have to focus on large losses primarily. We can't insure everyone for everything. And therefore, whatever the programs are going to be, they're going to have to focus on large losses, and people have to absorb some of the others. Government is going to have to focus on transition issues. You could come up with an ideal plan, but the ideal plan takes time to implement. And in the meantime, people have investments. So I like to vacation at the Jersey Shore. And there's some people who've had homes and their families there for generations, or at least they've owned it for decades since their children are small. Now, some of those people are selling at very high prices and we're building larger and larger homes, but some of those people are not. They're at a very high risk for flood. If we were suddenly to raise the prices of flood insurance even more dramatically than we've done under the current reform of the flood insurance, they would be stuck because they have their houses built on expectations. Here's how much I'm going to pay. So governments need to pay attention to transition problems like that. And the biggest question, I think, is how do we classify risks? And based on that classification, how do we price risks? The fundamental tension in insurance always is between an individualized model where it's every man for himself. We think every individual, to the extent possible, ought to pay the actuarial price that their risk reflects. And the sense that insurance is a collective risk-sharing enterprise, that what we're doing is getting together to protect not just ourselves, but each other from losses. And we're going to have to make tough choices where we balance that. And frankly, government's the only one that's in a position to do that.
Professor, in designing public solutions, how do we balance affordability for homeowners with financial sustainability for the system itself?
Well, that's a problem, and that stems directly from this individual versus collective problem, right? We want people to bear the cost of their risk, but we know in many cases that's not feasible. And as we think about the consequences of risks, consequences of losses, the consequences don't just befall on individuals. So we'll go back to the Jersey Shore. If there's a hurricane, if there's a flood, if there are windstorms, all sorts of flooding, some places had 7 inches of rain last night. Individual property owners are going to be affected and they're going to have substantial losses. If commercial enterprises, if houses, if rental properties at the Jersey Shore are damaged and not repaired in the short term because they haven't been insured or because the owners don't have the money, then the entire community suffers. The entire community suffers because this is an attractive place to go in the summer and people buy ice cream and pizzas and rent houses and all sorts of things that benefit the community. Oh, and by the way, commercial interests aside, when people are out of their houses, when people are focused on rebuilding, they can't do the other things that they would otherwise do to engage with their community. It's harder to coach Little League. It's harder to go to church. It's harder to participate in local events of all sorts. We've seen that in California, where rebuilding after the wildfires necessarily is very slow, and it's hard to reestablish the sense of the community, and oftentimes we can't, because people won't come back. So that's a key element here. We need to recognize this is not just a matter of people being priced appropriately. It's a matter of how we choose to balance individual and collective interests.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
What lessons can the U.S. take from international disaster insurance programs, and how might they inform domestic reform?
Well, certainly, this is not a problem unique to the U.S., and different countries have come up with different solutions. We've seen a number of Western European nations move much more to a collective model. It probably has something to do with their traditions of the welfare state, which are different than our own. People sometimes ask, why is the United States the only liberal Western democracy without universal health insurance? I don't want to get into that debate, but what it suggests is insurance fundamentally is about values. It's about politics. It's about the social good. And many European nations have decided it's to our benefit to build a disaster risk system that takes the burden off people who otherwise could not afford it. So, for example, some nations have mandatory disaster coverage as part of the homeowner's insurance, which we do not. Disaster insurance, if it's available, is optional in most places. What that does is it creates a larger pool of insureds and takes some of the burden off people subject to individual risk and places it on the collective pool. That always happens in insurance. There's no such thing as truly individualized pricing. First, because it's just too hard. And second, because we recognize that it's not always what we want to do, right? Medicare recipients don't pay the full cost of Medicare because we made a collective decision at some point that elderly people ought to have access to medical care, whether they can afford it or not. So we've seen broader risk pooling like that, and there have been suggestions for that in the United States. We've seen focus not so much on primary insurance as reinsurance. That is, if we're proceeding on the baseline that we're going to continue to have primarily a private insurance market, what we want to do is make sure the insurers can operate profitably. I've been critical of insurance companies sometimes. I like insurance companies. I think insurance companies ought to make more money because people ought to buy more insurance and better insurance. But sometimes that's only possible if risks which are very hard to calculate, like disaster risks, and risks which, if they come to pass, are large and correlated, like disaster risk, can be reinsured. The burden can be taken off an individual insurer. And we have models where we do that in the U.S. State insurer of last resort for auto insurance has long done that, California Fair Plan and others. California, I think, is interesting because it's either California or Florida. Sorry, I forgot. One of them says, look, in the ultimate case of a disaster, we can tap the resources of other insurance companies, not just property insurance companies, but other property casualty companies as well, because it broadens the pool. We see that. The other thing we see in a number of places around the world, which we're seeing in part in the US, is this isn't just an insurance problem. This is a mitigation and resilience problem. So built into the program somehow, we have to not only be able to pay for losses, but we want to try to prevent losses and mitigate their impact if they occur. You know, people talk about natural disasters. There's actually no such thing as natural disaster. If there's a hurricane in the middle of the Pacific Ocean and it doesn't strike a populated area, it's not a disaster because there's no loss. Disasters are products of the built environment, the economy we have created. And therefore, what we want to do is take that into account in a variety of ways.
Professor, how does climate change intensify the urgency of these reforms? And what policy levers are most critical to address this risk?
Well, part of the reason this is coming to the fore now is we're seeing more disasters, larger disasters, not only floods. It's why I say this is a national problem. In the Midwest, windstorms, hail, and other things like that. And the scientific consensus is a lot of this is being driven by climate change, which presents two problems. One is it becomes less predictable. You know, actuarial calculation and insurance is usually based on the idea that the future will be pretty much like the past. We know how many car accidents there are going to be this year because it's going to be pretty much like it was last year. climate change changes that calculation. And therefore, I think we need to build in a cushion. This came to light in California when the law required insurers to use past losses as the basis for premiums in the future. That law changed because it wasn't sustainable, because the world is changing. So it's the prediction. And then, of course, it's the extent of the losses, the frequency and severity in insurance terms. We have to be prepared for more of these, of more kinds, in more places.
What steps would you recommend policymakers take in the near term to begin addressing the systemic issues your research highlights?
Well, it's easy for an academic in some ways to say, here's what you ought to do, because I'm not a politician. I don't have to campaign for office. I don't have to answer to constituents. But the first thing we need to do is engage in systemic thinking, which sometimes government is not very good at, right? The history of the National Flood Insurance Program has been a history of let's respond to the latest crisis. And sometimes those responses make sense, and sometimes they don't, and sometimes we switch back and forth. And that's a political process, and I get that. But what we need now is to think broadly about the whole range of challenges in front of us. And as I said, what my article does is not tell you what the answer is, but it says, if you want to think seriously about that, here are a range of questions we need to think about. And I think we need to consider this not just as an insurance problem, but as a social problem that needs to be addressed in other ways as well. And this is happening. So in Alabama, there's a program called Strengthen Alabama Homes, funded by the Department of Insurance, where people can get grants of $10,000 from the state to fortify their roofs against winds and storms. Now, it may cost more than $10,000, but at least they get that first $10,000 from the state. What that does is it's going to mitigate future losses. It's going to reduce future insurance costs. And we need to engage in more of that thinking and focused thinking. This is a national problem with all sorts of areas, but it differs in different ways. Okay, Alabama may need roofs. Minnesota actually may need roofs also because of hailstorm. Other situations are going to need other sorts of reforms, but insurance is only part of the answer. And taking seriously our need to accommodate to climate change, whatever else we are doing or not doing to slow its effects, is part of the insurance problem.
Professor Fineman, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
You're welcome.
That was Jay Fineman, Distinguished Professor Emeritus at Rutgers Law School. And I'm John Weber for IAM Best TV.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.